The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing, Israel has announced the closure of its embassy in Dublin. It says that it's due to the extreme anti-Israel policies of the Irish government. Israel recalled the ambassador from Dublin following Ireland's recognition of a Palestinian state in May. And all of this comes as Israel's bombardment of Gaza continues, with at least 54 Palestinians reported killed in Gaza yesterday in Israeli airstrikes. We're joined now by the Israeli ambassador to Ireland, Dan Ehrlich. Ambassador, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, just to check your status, you are still ambassador to Ireland, even though there will be no embassy in Dublin.
Yes, we have announced after the declaration of the minister that we are starting the process of closing the embassy in Dublin.
Now, when the building itself is closed, will you still be ambassador to Ireland, although not operating from within this country?
There are different decisions that are still relevant to the future of the relations. It's important to emphasize we are not breaking diplomatic relations. We are closing the physical embassy in Dublin in order to relocate those resources and efforts to countries who do want more collaboration with Israel. Yeah. This is a very sad day for all of us at the embassy. We know how hurt the community, the Jewish community, the Israeli community. We hear from our friends. They are scared of staying alone in a hostile environment that unfortunately has been fostering in Ireland for the past year. But this is an important statement that we are making because, unfortunately, what we've seen in Ireland is an extreme, also in every aspect in any other country, an extreme vilification and policy against Israel.
Just to clarify, before we proceed with that particular contention, it's been suggested that the redeployment of resources, it is about deciding where the foreign affairs money, the diplomatic money goes. It's been suggested that you're opening an embassy in Moldova, who is, according to your foreign minister, more friendly towards Israel, and the money normally spent on Dublin will be spent next year in Moldova.
That is part of an overall calculation of where do we allocate the money. This is taxpayers' money, and we need to make sure that it goes to the places that want more engagement with Israel on all aspects. And unfortunately, what we have seen in Ireland, that we have the channels of communication open, but there is no public legitimacy to collaborate with Israel. And when that is being also encouraged by the government, unfortunately, we have not seen them attempt to stop the incitement and hatred against Israel, against the embassy, even against myself. There was a personal attack campaign against me. We did not hear any criticism by any officials. So what we are saying is that we will reallocate those efforts to where it's more needed. We will continue the conversation and channels of communication with Ireland, but not with a presence on the ground.
Now, what the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has said, it's deeply regrettable, a decision from the Netanyahu government. I utterly reject the assertion that Ireland is anti-Israel. Ireland is pro-peace, pro-human rights and pro-international law. Ireland wants a two-state solution and for Israel and Palestine to live in peace and security. Ireland will always speak up for human rights and international law. Nothing will distract from that. What do you say in response to that? Go on.
I started my post in Ireland, giving Ireland the benefit of the doubt. And I was told we are not anti-Israeli and we are pro-peace and coexistence. But unfortunately, what we have seen in the past over a year since the war started in extreme is time and time again promoting steps that are not pro-peace, pro-existence, not even pro-Palestinians, but are anti-Israeli. Ireland says, and we know how dearly it holds the international law, but to attempt to redefine a legal definition of genocide under international law in order to support baseless claims so to fit what they want Israel to be accused of, I mean, you are changing international law. You are not protecting international law. So this has done to levels of absurdity that we cannot facilitate or approve.
Now,
the fact that Hamas again thanked Ireland, they thanked Ireland in May when Ireland recognized a Palestinian state while we are still under attack, and they praised and thanked Ireland again after the submission to the ICJ. So when a terrorist organization thanks you for your efforts, I don't know how this helps the Palestinian people, but obviously Hamas understands that it helps them.
But, I mean, they would use that particular gesture for propaganda purposes, even though they would maybe deliberately mistake Ireland's condemnation of certain acts by Israel as support for them.
But all of this case, all of this absurd case by South Africa is a propaganda. It's an abuse of the international legal system. As in a country, as Ireland holds the international law so dearly, we were surprised to see that they're joining this abuse of the international system. And again, we see time and time again that this is not about pro-existence or pro-peace. The attempts to promote anti-Israeli steps within the EU, within the UN, the bilateral sanctions or legislation they're attempting to pass. The fact that the Jewish community and Israeli community in Ireland are not feeling safe. All of these needs to be addressed by Ireland.
The fact that you talk about them not feeling safe, the Jewish community, the Israeli community, and I'm not sure you can conflate the two, but there's often a conflation in charges made against the Irish government of anti-Semitism and anti-Israeli government policy. And I mean, are you doing that? Are you saying that the Irish government is anti-Semitic?
What we are saying is that the steps that Ireland is promoting and the atmosphere that it's helping foster, unfortunately, has created an anti-Israeli and anti-Jewish anti-Semitism sentiment in Ireland. The definition of anti-Semitism has evolved throughout the years, and we need to accept and define. Ireland is one of the only countries in Europe that has not adopted the IRA definition of anti-Semitism. And we need to clearly say what it is. Let me be clear. Criticism of Israeli and policies or Israel is not anti-Semitism. This is not what we're saying. But we need to say that when you delegitimize Israel, the existence of Israel, the only Jewish state, that is anti-Semitism. When you delegitimize and vilify all of Israelis for Israeli policy, for the government's action, that is anti-Semitism.
Are you saying that Israel has to be above criticism? Because we're talking about an Israeli government.
That is the contrary of what I just said. We accept criticism, and we have fruitful relations with many countries who criticize us. We do not agree politically with all countries. We accept that. Unfortunately, what we have seen in Ireland is that it's crossed that line. Ireland, it seemed to be stuck in some sort of an echo chamber between the media coverage and political statements. I do not think that the silent majority agrees with this anti-Israeli sentiment, but that echo chamber of that anti-Israeli hostile atmosphere, that needs to be broken, because I don't think that even politicians understand how deeply ingrained in the system this sentiment is, these biases. And we have been saying it and showing it all along throughout the war, the way that the coverage, even the way that you introduced me right now and mentioned so-called bombardments in Gaza, but you don't say Israel and firing at Israeli citizens.
It's just to make
so
it clear.
This is a war, not a one-sided war. We are fighting enemies. More and more countries around the world, in the region, understand the threat that Israel is, and understand that that threat is also on their doorstep. Those countries are collaborating.
No, I think you may be misunderstanding the mood of the public. You see, day after day, and less so these days because maybe the conflict is not as intense as it once was, but day after day we were seeing the effects of Israeli bombing in Gaza, and we were seeing bodies of children being carried out again and again and again. And ordinary people are saying, how can this be allowed to happen? And even when you talk to me over the months, you were saying that the ordinary Palestinian people did not necessarily support Hamas, that they were hostages being held by a malign Hamas government. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, why does Israel bomb the very people who it maintains are being held hostage by Hamas?
We know that while fighting this tragic war, that we are dealing with an enemy that doesn't care about its people. And we are doing everything in our possible to make sure, possibility, to make sure that no civilians get hurt. Unfortunately, in a war, they do, especially when Hamas uses them, hides behind them. So this tragic, brutal reality is not something that we want to continue. Obviously, if the 100 hostages are released, if Hamas stops the fighting, indiscriminate fight and firing of rockets against Israel, this war can end. And this war can end also for the Palestinian people who are under the brutal regime of Hamas. But what you are not reporting is the way that Hamas is inflating the numbers of the casualties. What you are not reporting is the fact that they are abusing any civilian infrastructure, including ones that are supposed to be protected by international and UN law, like hospitals, like mosques, like schools. You are not reporting the way that they're entrenching themselves in those infrastructures. The
now,
looting
can I put it
of
to you,
aid
though?
That doesn't go to the people, but is stolen by Hamas. The media is not reporting that, so the people do not see that.
We did report, by the way, the looting of some aid convoys by people within Gaza. And I know that you had suggested that this was happening on a large scale when I think last we spoke. But when you talk about reporting accurately what's going on, I mean, there is no doubt that thousands of people have been killed and many, many children have been killed. But 150 journalists have been killed as well. So trying to report accurately from inside a war zone when journalists themselves are under threat from death, maybe from both sides, I don't know. It's very difficult to get accurate information, is it not?
It's difficult to maintain some sort of reality within this tragic situation in Gaza. We see Hamas threaten journalists. We see them threaten UN organizations. We know that anybody who's in Gaza is at the mercy of Hamas. We know that they're in an impossible situation. We all understand that this needs to end, and it will end when Hamas is releasing the hostages and foregoing those attempts to eliminate Israel. That is the pressure that we need to be
focusing on, not
promoting anti-Israeli initiatives.
Do you accept, though, that Israel has largely thus far failed? The hostages are still there. There is talk that Joe Biden has some sort of peace process that he hopes to complete before January the 20th. But in the meantime, you're saying Hamas is still active in spite of the intensive Israeli activity on the ground and the bombardment. Hamas is still active. How can that be seen as a victory?
Well, we've seen the elimination of many of Hamas's leaders, either inside of Gaza or elsewhere. We have seen the undermining of their infrastructure. It's a long process. We've also seen that this hard battle is because they're so entrenched in the population. And this is a tragic situation. Again, I don't think in the war there are any victory. We are not talking about victory. We just want our hostages back. We want to make sure that we are safe, that there is coexistence. But in order to have coexistence, you cannot be living next door to a genocidal terror organization recognized by the UN and EU as a terrorist organization and just forego any attempts to defend your citizens and your population.
Is it not a pipe dream to think you can end up with a peaceful coexistence with those people who were either in Hamas or in Hezbollah, many of whom lost their lives and leave behind them children who in turn will probably grow up with a hatred of Israel for what they did to their families? There's another generation of hostility coming.
Most of the Irish statements call us to promote peace. So if you're saying also that is not acceptable.
No, what I'm saying is that
we have shown in the past that when there is a viable partner, we will promote peace. We have shown it with Jordan, with Egypt, with the different countries of the Abraham Accords. So when there is a viable partner, we will do that. In the Oslo process, we have agreed to painful, painful reconciliations, the same that Ireland did in the past. Ireland has done it with the understanding that on the other side, there is a partner that will agree to that. The minimum that we ask is that the coexistence and safety for our people. I don't think Irish people would have accepted anything else but to start with the safety of their people. And this is what we are asking Irish government and officials as well. This is the minimum that we owe our people, their safety. As you say, this is a genocidal organization that doesn't want coexistence. So how can Ireland recognize a Palestinian state where the Palestinian Authority and Hamas do not talk between each other and they're killing each other? There isn't even coexistence and peace within the Palestinian community.
Now, do you believe it's possible to be Israeli and be critical of your own government? Because one of my texters says, one of my closest friends in Ireland is Jewish. He totally condemns the totally disproportionate reaction by Israel to the outrage carried out by Hamas on October the 7th. Could you ask the ambassador, does she think that my friend is anti-Jewish?
Let me separate again. We do not say that criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism. We are a democratic country, and within Israel, we have many, many voices, many affiliations, many parties. So you have different points of view. Even within the government, you have different points of view of what needs to be done and how to do it, as any other democracy, as in Ireland, obviously. So the same way that in Ireland, there is a very fruitful, productive conversation, so in Israel. You can have many opinions, but on one thing, we all agree. We want to live. We want to make sure that our children are able to live peacefully. We want to make sure that our neighbors also live peacefully. And for that, for the sake of all of our lives and coexistence, we need to make sure that terrorist organizations like Hamas are eliminated.
Just finally, do you think you'll be back, or maybe a successor will be back, or will they sell off the real estate that is the Dublin embassy?
I do not know all of those details. On a personal note, again, this is a very tough decision. And this is a tough day. No ambassador wants to be in this situation. But unfortunately, at this point, this is the correct decision taken by the minister. We will be there to help the Israeli community, the Jewish community, to support them. And we need to make sure also that the Irish government makes some assurances in order to provide for their safety and for the future of those communities in Ireland.
Will have a diplomatic presence on the ground, even though you are closing the embassy.
No, I do not know that. That has not been decided yet. But as we work, we don't necessarily have a physical presence of embassies in all countries, and we are able to work remotely. So that is to be decided how that will be done with Ireland.
Do you know whether the Jewish community in Ireland feels abandoned by you?
I think they are concerned. I think they are felt that they're left alone because they do not receive assurances from the Irish government. And this is why they're so concerned. Because for the past year, we have also been very vocal to promote their safety, to raise the concerns that they are raising with us. And those concerns need to be addressed with the Irish government and also the Irish population, Irish public, because if a community within Ireland is not feeling safe, is feeling isolated, is feeling discriminated against, that is something that Ireland needs to be addressing. Yeah.
I think many of our listeners would feel that they are not in any way anti-Semitic. Maybe they don't know Jewish people, but many people do and have cordial relations with them, and they do not conflate the actions of this current Israeli government with all Jewish people.
I agree that most of the people in Ireland are not anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic, or hostile towards Israel. I do think that in the current atmosphere, public atmosphere, that what we hear in the media, what we hear from politicians, is an echo chamber that doesn't necessarily represent most Irish population. And this is not a break of relations, of diplomatic relations or people-to-people relations. But right now, what we have seen systematically by the Irish government, by Irish politicians, are the promotions of incitement and hate towards Israel through different initiatives, legislation and statements.
Finally, I should ask you about the Occupied Territories Bill. Is that the principal preoccupation of the Israeli government now, that if that is passed in the Irish Parliament, that it gets traction across Europe and therefore would have severe implications for people who have, Israelis who have settled in the West Bank?
I would need to see how and if it will be promoted in Ireland. We know that many other countries are also following this with concern, because this legislation will have an impact not just about Irish citizens, but any U.S. collaboration in Ireland, because they do not promote any legislation for BDS movement, that is the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement against Israel. So the impact of U.S. economy within Ireland is something that needs to be addressed. And again, what we've seen is steps that Ireland is trying to take or attempting to promote other countries in taking that have an impact on Ireland, on Irish taxpayers' money within Ireland, and are not helping Palestinians, are not helping coexistence. This is not about peace. This is about isolating and indiscriminate attack against Israelis and Israeli targets.
So therefore, if this Occupied Territories Bill, which you are so concerned about, I mean, is the closure of the embassy all about that, and to prevent, maybe to project a chilling effect onto the Irish government about American investment?
The step that the minister has announced is because of the accumulation of steps that we've seen, initiatives by the Irish government. It's one on top of the other in a very systematic way. We also saw that there are not a lot of countries who hold this extreme view that Ireland is representing. Even within the EU, Ireland is considered extreme with its obsession, for lack of another word, against Israel. For a year, Ireland is saying that Israel is isolated. But what we have seen is that we continue to collaborate with allies, with countries in the region, with other countries internationally who understand the threat that we are under and understand that this is a shared battle that we are all fighting. What we've seen is that Ireland is isolating itself from other countries, and it's one or a small group of countries, but this obsession we have not seen in any other country so far.
Dan Ehrlich, Israeli ambassador to Ireland, thank you very much for joining us on
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.